Hello and welcome to Redeemer Radio, the podcast of Redeemer Bible Church in Minnetonka, Minnesota. And I'm your host, J. Aaron White. And this is our first recording for the Redeemer Radio podcast. And so we thought it would be prudent to explain something that we say at Redeemer a lot, and that is that the gospel changes everything. So what does that phrase mean? Well, there's been a lot of talk about gospel this and gospel that over the last 10 or 15 years, and that's good. A resurgence of gospel-centered thinking and publications is a wonderful thing, but something can become assumed when we don't take time to think about it and explain what we mean. So what we want to do is explain, what do we mean by the gospel changes everything? So this is an article that I wrote that I'm going to share with you guys called Five Reasons Why We Aim to Be a Gospel-Centered Church. Well, first of all, we want to ask, what is the gospel? What is the message of the gospel? And one of the easiest ways I know to do that with the time that we have, that's my dog Charlie barking in the background because we are professional. Sorry about that. The best place I know to go to explain the gospel is 2 Corinthians 5:21. A lot of theologians, and I can't think of exactly who, probably Martin Luther. If you can't think of who it was, just say it was Martin Luther or Augustine. It's kind of like choosing C on an exam. You'll probably get it right. I think it was Martin Luther who said that 2 Corinthians 5:21 is the gospel in a nutshell. So what he means is, in one verse, it really hits on all the high points of what exactly is the gospel. So what is 2 Corinthians 5:21? Paul says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, that's a mouthful, but it's a good verse to try to commit to memory. So first of all, he says, "For our sake." So who is our? Who are we? Well, the Bible is very, very clear. It says that people are relatively good and just need to actualize their potential. No. If your Bible says that, throw it out. The Bible says in Romans 3:10-12, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands and no one seeks for God. All have turned aside and together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." So if we want to understand the good news of the gospel, which of course gospel means good news or good message, we have to understand the bad news. So if I go to the doctor and I'm really sick, really, really sick, I just don't know it. He's not doing me any favors by not telling me the diagnosis. It's going to be hard to hear the bad news. It's going to be hard to hear, "Mr. White, you have advanced pancreatic cancer," or something like that. But I can guarantee I'm going to relish the cure a lot more if he tells me honestly and compassionately that I'm ill and to what level. So if we want to understand the good news and we want to relish grace, if we want to sing that song with any modicum of honesty and say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound," we have to understand that we are a wretch like me. So when Paul says, "For our sake," we're talking about biblical anthropology. What is the condition of man? Well, the condition of man is depraved. When you hear depraved, you think, well, people aren't running around with axes and butcher knives being as horrible as they possibly can. I know a lot of non-Christian people that do a lot of wonderful things, and that's true. That's true. We're made in the image of God, and that image is effaced, but it's not erased. People are still very capable of doing a lot of wonderful things. But when it comes to our moral ability to lovingly and willingly bow to the sovereignty of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where the depravity of our minds and our wills, the brokenness of our wills and the rebellion that's inherent to us comes to flower. So that's what we mean. For our sake, we're rebels against a holy God. But it gets better. So again, if you're just tuning in, 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're explaining what the gospel is. "For our sake, sinners, he made him who knew no sin." So who's the he? Well, against whom have we sinned? I ask my kids sometimes, what are we saved from? If we say we're saved, and a lot of times they'll say we're saved from sin. And I say, well, that's true, but sin isn't a person or a thing or an entity that puts people in hell. Against whom have we sinned? Whose law have we broken? Well, the answer is God. And that's what makes the gospel such scandalous good news, is that for our sake, as sinners, He, God Almighty, made Him to be sin who knew no sin. Well, He's talking about the Father and the Son. A point of theology that doesn't get a lot of airtime, but certainly should if we want to rightly understand the gospel, is the active and the passive obedience of Jesus Christ. And what we're talking about there is the active obedience of Jesus Christ is referring to the fact that He was born fully God and fully man, or vera homo, vera Deus, truly God, truly man. And He lived under the law, and He fulfilled the law 100%, never sinned. That's why Scripture refers to Him as the last Adam or the second Adam. He represented His people, but unlike the first Adam, who represented us, Jesus never failed. And so He lived the life that we should have lived. He perfected fulfilled the perfect law of God on our behalf. So that's what we talk about, His active obedience. And then His passive obedience is essentially His work on the cross, where He bore the wrath of God that we deserved, that the judicial sentence that stood against us was satisfied in Christ. That's why we call it forensic justification. It's a legal declaration. And when we put our faith in Christ, God can rightly, legally declare us to be righteous because Christ has really paid a ransom to redeem His people legally. And that's what we mean when we say, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. All that theology is packed into John 3:16. So back to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, He, God, made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin. Doesn't mean that He inherently became sinful. No, no, no. It means that God counted our sin to Him, just like He counts Christ's righteousness to us. And that's why the verse ends this way. So that in Him, in Christ, by faith in Him, we sinners might become the righteousness of God. And that is really, really good news. So when we say the gospel changes everything, it's not just your ticket in. That's not what we mean. We mean that this gospel indeed is the ticket into the Christian life, if you want to use that verbiage, but it is the sum total of the Christian life. What do I need to preach to myself every day to fight the fight of faith? I need the gospel. What do I need to preach to my heart to be the daddy that my kids need them to be? What's the fuel for Godward affections that are meant to spill over to my children? Well, it's the gospel. What do I need as a pastor to rightly care for God's people? Well, there is a duty in being a pastor and an elder, but that's a duty fueled by joy in Christ, and that comes through the gospel. And we could go on and on and on, but here are five implications from Redeemer Bible Church as to what we mean when we say the gospel changes everything. Implication number one, the gospel glorifies God. Our mission statement at Redeemer Bible Church is that we exist to declare and demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ so that all people will find their satisfaction in God alone. When sinners turn from lesser things to God because they find superior joy and satisfaction in Him, He's glorified. He is seen as the supremely valuable prize that He truly is. Jesus described the joy-giving reality of the gospel like this, Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys the field. So we aim to be a gospel-centered church because the gospel glorifies God. Implication number two of what we mean by the gospel changes everything. Number two, the gospel saves sinners. Our joy in God brings with it an impulse to see others' joy, enjoy, and glorify God too. However, the clear witness of Scripture is that fallen humanity is unwilling and unable to see God's glory or to rejoice in it. Therefore, we realize that for people to see and enjoy God's glory, a miracle has to happen. Theologians refer to this miracle as regeneration, or being born again. Specifically, the miracle of the new birth is brought about through the preaching of the gospel. And this reality is what moved the Apostle Paul to say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can save the lost. So, we are likewise unashamed to proclaim it. We aim to be a gospel-centered church because the gospel saves sinners. The third implication as to why Redeemer Bible Church says the gospel changes everything is because the gospel sustains faith. The gospel sustains faith. The gospel is not merely the entry point of the Christian life, as we said earlier. It is the Christian life. Scripture repeatedly calls us to grow deeper into the gospel rather than growing out of it. The gospel grants faith, and the gospel sustains faith. Regularly preaching the gospel to ourselves and to one another is essential to vibrant and enduring Christianity. This is why Redeemer Bible Church is committed to continuous gospel proclamation. Not only do we desire to see the unsaved come to know and love Christ, we also desire to establish God's people in the faith-sustaining truth of the gospel of grace. So at Redeemer, we aim to be a gospel-centered church because the gospel sustains faith. The fourth implication of what we mean by the gospel changes everything is that the gospel unlocks Scripture. So just by way of recap, the gospel glorifies God, the gospel saves sinners, the gospel sustains faith, and number four, the gospel unlocks Scripture. Well, what do we mean? We are committed to teaching and proclaiming all of Scripture, Old and New Testaments, as the inspired, inerrant, and authoritative Word of God. Though many Christians are often intimidated by the idea of studying the Old Testament, we unashamedly seek to be grounded in it because it is there that we see God's unfolding plan of redemption. In other words, we see the supremacy of Christ in all of Scripture. And if you're wondering, well, what gives you permission to think that way? Is that a biblical hermeneutic? Is that a biblical way of interpreting Scripture? Well, in Luke 24, verses 27 and 44, the risen Jesus, the risen, victorious, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ says this, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. In verse 44, then Jesus said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Author and theologian Graham Goldsworthy says this, quote, we do not start at Genesis 1 and work our way forward until we discover where it's leading. Rather, we first come to Christ, and he directs us to study the Old Testament in light of the gospel. The gospel will interpret the Old Testament by showing us its goal and its meaning. So, at Redeemer, we aim to be a gospel-centered church because the gospel unlocks Scripture. And finally, number five, the gospel fuels service. So not only is Redeemer Bible Church desperate for God and dependent on each other, but we're also determined to go. From our living rooms to the far reaches of the globe, we are passionate about serving others in such a way that their temporal needs are met and their joy is eternally secure. This requires great sacrifice, and the fuel that God has ordained to sustain our efforts is the ever-flowing fountain of grace that comes to us in the gospel of Christ. For example, the Apostle Paul labored for 11 chapters to unpack the glory of the gospel in his letter to the Romans. After telling his readers what God has done for them through Christ, then and only then does he call for grace-empowered action. In Romans 12:1, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So we want to be a church marked by joyful, sacrificial, and exuberant service at home and abroad. So whether we're serving in Minnetonka, Minnesota, or Mongolia, the gospel compels and it empowers us to go. Our constant realization of God's goodness toward us through the cross of Jesus moves us toward others with compassion and mercy. So we aim to be a gospel-centered church because the gospel fuels service. Redeemer Bible Church exists to declare and demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ so that all people will find their satisfaction in God alone. This is our mission and this is our passion. All that we do is to be done for God's glory. And His glory is seen most clearly in the gospel of Christ. Therefore, we are committed to being a gospel-centered church where sinners are saved, faith is sustained, scripture is proclaimed, joyful service abounds, all to God's glory alone. So thanks for joining us on this first pilot episode of Redeemer Radio. And we hope you join us at Redeemer Bible Church in Minnetonka, Minnesota, where the gospel changes everything.